You probably noticed that we made a shift in worship, having Brooklyn introduce and read the scripture so that it's a bit more accessible for some of our younger worshipers and some of our older worshipers as well. I really appreciate, Brooklyn, how well you do this and how engaging you are in telling the story. You know, more often than not, we've used the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible for scripture readings. And Brooklyn is using a newer translation called the Common English Bible, which is a bit more understandable for all ages. And it was edited by our own David Peterson, a renowned Old Testament scholar and a member of Plymouth. I appreciate some of the ways the Common English Bible translates the New Testament Greek. And in today's reading, the verb metanoeo is translated not as repent, but as change your hearts and your lives. And that's exactly what I was getting at in last Sunday's sermon on transformation. It also translates the verb pistuo, not as believe, like give intellectual assent, but to trust in. Okay, so here's what that sounds like, that same passage, or that same piece sounds like in the New Revised Standard Version. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, that's fine. But you hear two loaded words in that sentence, repent and believe. How many of us have ever had trouble with those two words? I know for sure that I have because, we'll get there. Here's the CEB, the Common English Bible translation. Now is the time. Here comes the kingdom. Change your hearts and your lives and trust in this good news. Do you hear the difference? I know I probably read it a little bit differently, but you know, so often clergy have asked us to believe, to give intellectual assent to six impossible things before breakfast, just like the Queen of Hearts and Alice in Wonderland. But pistuo in Greek has a stronger sense of putting one's trust in someone or in something. It's not simply believing. I think that anything that can crack open scripture for us and help us internalize it, whether it's a new translation or a new interpretation, is wonderful. So are you willing to open your heart and your mind and put your trust in the good news of God's realm? Please remember that question in the context of your Lenten journey over these next 40 days. If you're reading Mark's gospel along with us during Lent, one of the things that you may have noticed already is that the author is very succinct. So the way Mark describes Jesus's 40-day trek into the wilderness takes exactly two sentences. That's it. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Boop. That's it. Short, sweet, to the point. That's Mark. There are no extraneous details. You know, Matthew's and Luke's account are more extensive, and they introduce us to the dialogue between the tempter, Satan, and Jesus, who literally offers Jesus bodily sustenance, all the kingdoms of this world, and then putting God to the test as part of the 40-day quest that's preparing Jesus for something. You know, Mark doesn't even allow Jesus to say, one does not live by bread alone. I think Lent is a contemporary reflection of that story, of Jesus undergoing a time of preparation. His time in the wilderness was an example of the mythic hero's journey that Joseph Campbell described. Departure, encounter, testing, and return. I wonder if it was something akin to an initiation ritual or a vision quest for Jesus, because immediately thereafter, he begins his public ministry. So what is Lent really about for us? Is it a time of fasting and penitence in the 40 days that precede Easter? Or is it more a reenactment of the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness? The answer will depend on the person who is answering that question. There's no evidence that the early apostles and followers of Jesus observed Lent, and the church didn't do so for at least four centuries. So the origins of Lent are still a bit sketchy at best. It was certainly not something that Jesus or the disciples observed, unless you go for that vision quest in explanation. My own tendency is to see the story of Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness as the paradigm for our Lenten journey. For Jesus, it was a time of spiritual awakening, and for us, it can become a time of blossoming spiritual awareness. You know, we don't get a very clear picture of Jesus's 40 days from the Gospels, even from Matthew and Luke. I mean, it's not as though we had 6 weeks of closed circuit video to go through examining every movement and thought that Jesus had during those 40 days. But imagine yourself for a moment on a vision quest. You can close your eyes if you want. Imagine that. The Spirit leads you out into the wilderness, a place where there are no distractions, no internet, no email, no cell phone reception, no streaming, and thanks be to God, no social media. Just you and the Holy Spirit and temptation. You know, I sometimes wonder if we encounter a lot more temptation than most of us are willing to admit. And I'm not talking about chocolate or sex. More often than not, our temptations involve making something that isn't God the object of our worship, whether that's economic security or power or influence. It may not be that we set up an altar to economic security, and we may not have to build a golden calf to serve as an emblem of power and influence. We're not quite that obvious, and temptation is often more subtle than that. One way to think about it is what you overgive influence and attention to. Do you allow fear to predominate your thinking? You know, there's plenty of news out there to draw your attention in and cause you to be upset. But does that dominate your thinking? I can tell you that sometimes it does consume more of my attention and emotional bandwidth than I would like. If we allow God to lead us, if we really do put our trust in God, then some of that other stuff can take a back seat. Now that sounds simple enough. But if it took Jesus 40 days of internal and external struggle to work through the temptations of having bread, what we might call fear about economic security, and authority, the things we refer to as power and influence often in our careers, how long will it take you and me to work through these issues? A lifetime? Well, fortunately, God has given us more than 40 days to get that done. But these 40 days can be a good place to start. You know, even though few of us are preparing ourselves for a ministry like Jesus was doing, Lent affords us an occasion and an opportunity to do some spiritual deepening. Our Plymouth Reads Bible study and our Matisse-based devotional and Christian formation classes are meant to provide an opening for you to take a step further on your journey. to see what else might be opening up for you spiritually. You know, I grew up in a congregational church that really didn't observe Lent or Ash Wednesday. I think they considered it to be too Catholic, which meant that some of the baby got thrown out with the bathwater. For me, Lent is a season of invitation to explore changing my heart and my life and putting more trust in the good news of God's realm here and now and still unfolding. It's a time when we all are invited to go a bit deeper through spiritual exercise here at Plymouth. Part of the idea for me is doing something that helps me feel more connected to the Spirit. I mean, there are no guarantees that any of this will work, but we're purposefully aligning ourselves more closely with God, and that's enough. There is no perfectionism in Lent. Some people like to give something up for Lent, seeing what it's like to strip away some of the baggage, and I applaud that too, if it enhances your awareness of the holy. You know, the other phrase that struck me in the Common English Bible translation is, rather than Jesus saying, "The time is fulfilled," he says, "Now is the time." If you've been waiting for an invitation to go deeper in your spiritual quest, to try something new in your prayer life, consider it done. Pick up a copy of the Lenten devotional booklet or that Plymouth Reads bookmark at the back of the sanctuary and dig in. You're invited on our Lenten journey. And now is the time. May it be so. Amen.